to shine all over. Darkness will have no place on this campus in the name of Jesus. Darkness will have no place in your life. Bye bye to darkness. We give you red card. Praise the Lord. We thank God this is the third day. Remember the third day? What happens on the third day? What happens on the third day? What happens on the third day? Victory over death. Victory over principalities and powers. Today is your day of victory. Today is your day of victory. The first day and the second day, God used His servant, Reverend Sunday Academy, to bless us. But today, the third day, God has brought another man. Praise the Lord. All the way from Benue State. Praise the Lord. All the way from Benue State, the land of fish and yam. And we know that when there is food and there is fish, there will be multiplication. So He has brought the food and the fish. Praise the Lord. And it will reach everybody. And there will be left over. Full of baskets for those that will come tomorrow. Praise the Lord. He is from RCN, Remnant Christian Network, Makode. He is indeed a young Timothy of our time. He is married. Listen now. He's married to one female wife. One female wife. And her name is Mrs. Osenega Oroko. And so, but today we thank God for Madame for releasing you to come. You know, you're supposed to be on the moon. But Madame has been gracious enough to release him to come. So, join me as we welcome Apostle Michael Okoroko. Join me as we welcome him. Join me as we welcome him. Praise the Lord.
The Lord. We have come to a sacred moment. We have come to a sacred moment in this service already. Thank you. want to celebrate and salute and honor the chaplain and his assistant. For creating an enabling environment for the younger generation to thrive, even as they learn the ways of God. I want to honor every minister here tonight, the fathers, the mothers, every elder that made our time to come this evening. Thank you so much. It's such a big encouragement seeing you. I salute the leadership of the FCS for putting together this massive meeting. Thank you so much for your labor. And I want to welcome everybody to the third day. Thank you for making it. God bless you. Give the Lord a shout! If you are not just excited but expectant, lift your hands toward heaven and begin to talk to the Lord. Whenever mortals gather together before a spirit, it's a holy convocation when the reality of such spirits are transmitted. Our gathering is not a religious enterprise. Our gathering is a sacred act of priesthood. There we look upon the face of Him that dwells in the midst of the coals of fire. Him that dwells in light that is unapproachable. He has given us the privilege to draw near to Him and to mingle with His reality. And so we know that by all means, the essence of His being will be transmitted to our vessels. And when we leave this place, we will bear His image and we will carry His likeness. And so lift your hands and open up your spirit and dream from that endless bounty. Talk to the Father from the depths of your heart. Talk to Him. The moment has come. Is this how you pray in Zaria? Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. Barakato pepelani sada. Rima kaze sevelis. Repina taile barak. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, the first thing God wants to do tonight is to commission people into different ministries and different mandates, different offices, different realms, and different dimensions of spiritual operation. It's not just a teaching. There are commissioning, there are mantles, there are dimensions, and there are graces that God wants to release upon you tonight. This is why you came hungry. You didn't come for a message. You came for an encounter. And the Lord told me, He's ordaining workers. He's ordaining keepers. He's ordaining warriors in the spirit. And so as I speak, the hand of God descends upon you. Everyone captured in that ordination. In the name of Jesus, I call you forth. I call you forth. I call you forth. I call you forth. Marekatova kata. Of the spirit that is about to be formed over this campus. There are 24 of you here that the hand of God will come upon you for authority and for dominion. As I speak right now, Holy Spirit, from the left to the right, to all the galleries, to the overflow, and to everybody watching online, the hand of God is upon you for power, for glory. Holy Ghost, touch. Find them, 24 keepers of government, custodians of spiritual realities, holders of dimensions, workers in realms of glory. Manta Kabato, Perekata Rasilia Tanas, Barendo Sabah, Tatale, Meron the Father. Usher, bring them here. I want to touch them. They are 24. It's a spiritual presbytery. I release that grace, I release that dimension, I release that power. So river flow, let it river flow. In your church once again, let it river flow.
River flow,
let it river flow.
sensitive. Operations of ancient mantles. Ancient mantles are resting on people. Operations of ancient mantles. I came in the similitude of a witness. Father, people that have desired grace, people that have blessed in the spirit, people that you have encountered in the secret place, mantles that bring honor, mantles that open doors, mantles that activate dimension, ancient mantles, touch.
Those of you at the overflow, some of you are beginning to step into angelic dimension. Or just go to the overflow. There are five people coming under the power of God. They are stepping into an angelic dimension. Angelic, angelic dimension. I see activity of angels. I see light, woman, light moving everywhere. Even in the auditorium, those of you in the gallery, I am stepping into a prophetic dimension. I see that being handed over in the name of Jesus. Hey, Maracando, Medica Pass, Bacada Sabres, Perondo Tenadina, Macaradi, and to the galleries, to the overflow, I release that dimension Step into that dimension. Step into that dimension. Step into that dimension. That's a miracle. Perina Kaba. Nantatale. Orante de Baila Toa. Carlos. Some of you, your body is literally being set on fire. Your body is on fire. It's an impartation of the spirit of purity and sanctification. Carlos, when it comes. And I do tabu and all. Ojo, I do tabu and all. Bohemia, after that, he did. And I do that, and oh, Maja, do that, and oh, Bohemia, after that, he did. And I do that, and oh, Maja, do that, and oh, Bohemia, after that, he did. Nakai, Rakida Fantekos, Balak Metanada, Santa Barat, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Darkness is living your life and your family. The Holy Ghost falls upon you tonight. We honor you tonight. I'm seeing there is a cloud of fire coming upon a young man. And the Lord said it's a grace for speed. For speed. This person will start running. Ushers, make sure they are not injured. It's a grace for speed. The angels that move on the chariots, the wheel in between the wheels, I activate those dimensions. Grace. Erako, Beyanda Talish, Rakiba Tatas, Molanda Tai, Barwaka, Bak Tatas. Chariots of fire, they are unleashed upon you. Elone, Baika Tai, Mantako, Ovaladia Sakaya. And I do Dabu and all. Ota to Dabu and all, Bohemia, Akata Kigi, and I do Dabu and all, Dabu and all, Bohemia, Akata Kigi. Powers of addiction, pornography, masturbation, powers of immorality. They are breaking under this intensity. The hand of God is upon you for purity and for sanctification. Kale Nabana, Rakiato, Elia Kamash, Banosa Tai. Thank you, Father. Ojo Mogagu, Ojo Mogagu, Ene Dabu. Thank you, Father. Gayan Tapana. The spirit of fear, the spirit of confusion, and the spirit of jealousy that he creates a parade against the move of God is being bound. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Please be seated if you can. Somebody is having an encounter with the light of God's presence, the light that sits upon the throne, the countenance of glory. Somebody is having an encounter with that dimension of the Christ, the light of the presence. Right now, it appears to you and it shifts you into your purpose in life. Thank you, Father. We honor the presence of God. We honor the name of the Lord. We honor the angels of the presence. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. In the name of Jesus, peace be still. Wash us, you can leave them. Allow them, when the Lord is done with them, they can just go to their seats. But just allow them. These ones are in intensive care unit. The Lord is doing a quick work. Sometimes it takes more than a message. Thank you, Father. Tonight, I will just share with us briefly and we'll spend time to pray.
give you praise, we give you glory.
You know, I'm seeing the spiritual climate over this city being moved. A new heaven is appearing over this city. And new functionaries will be ordained. New voices will emerge. New stakeholders, new princes will emerge from this region. A new season is upon you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I'm seeing a lady wearing a black gown on the gallery. There is a mantle of a prophetess coming upon her so mightily. This person is wearing a black gown. There is a prophetic spirit coming upon her like a mantle. As I'm speaking now, the anointing of the Spirit. For some of you, addictions have been broken. You have heard 1,001 messages, but you still live in secret sin. Something is happening on your inside. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's a young man around this part of the hall. You are wearing a black jean and a shirt. You are a psalmist. You are a psalmist. You are wearing a black trouser and a shirt. There is a trumpet is being handed over to that person. Somewhere around here, there is a... This person is a psalmist. There's an anointing. You'll begin to hear sounds from the Spirit. And it will translate into a move in the Spirit. There's an oil. It's coming upon you violently. You can't even contain it. I release that grace upon you. Bring that guy to me. Contradiction with your tummy. You are a woman. There's been a contradiction with your stomach. The Lord is healing you. The hand of God is upon you. I correct that issue. Now bring pains and unrest. Thank you, Father. Please be seated. Let me share briefly. Tomorrow night will be a healing service. If you are sick or your friend is sick, encourage them to come. If there are no sick people, there will be no healing. Encourage them to come. There's somebody on this row. You had an issue with your throat. It's like there's a growth somewhere inside. There's been excruciating pain. Come, you are healed. It's an issue with your throat, like it's a growth inside and it's causing so much pain. Just swallow, you'll discover you have been healed. That affliction is gone. I curse it. Go! Get out! Swami, you discover you are free. Forever! Thank you, Father. Towards that pole at the back there is somebody there. You have an issue with your eye. It's like a growth, like a glaucoma or something affecting your eyes. Towards the back there, the Lord is healing somebody with an eye condition there. Who is the person? Come quickly. Somewhere around the back there, there's somebody with an eye condition. Please run forward quickly. I don't have all the time. It's like a thin layer covering your eyes, like glaucoma. It's creating itching sensation. With your eyes, right? You too. Okay. Yes. Look into my eyes. Go. In the name of Jesus, ushers, please, you can be seated. Don't worry, they are fine. They are fine. I just want to. Share briefly. Who is this person here? You are a young lady with excruciating pain in your breast. Somewhere here. Who's the person? If you are not ashamed, the Lord wants to heal you now, almost instantly. Somebody towards the left here, there's a pain. Who's the person? I'm saying there's somewhere around here. There's so much pain. It looks as if a growth is developing. Is there anybody here like that? The Lord says it's somewhere here. Or is he? Okay, there's an overflow behind here. Please check. Where are you coming from? Okay, from around here, right? Yes, there's a pain. I see there is a growth there or something. In the breast, right? It will dematerialize now. Just put your hand. Sister, you too, put your hand there. I command the growth to go now. I command the growth to go. I command the growth to dematerialize. Out! Stand up, check. The growth is gone. Check. Check. Just be careful. Don't try to impress me. Check. The Holy Ghost just burnt it out. It's dematerialized. Go outside at the back and be free to check. Make sure you check. Is the pain still there? Just check it. The pain is gone. Check the growth and see it's gone. It's dematerialized. That's what the Lord said He wants to do. Is the growth there? Can you feel it? You can't feel it. It's gone, right? Come. Are you sure? You can't feel the growth anymore, and you can't feel the pain.
Yes, sir.
Yes, it's gone. Glory to God. I just want to share with us briefly this evening. Tomorrow morning we'll share, but Tomorrow evening will be a power and a miracle service. God will do great things here. People will not only be healed, most of you will receive. I'm seeing somebody here. See this row where this guy is. You are black. Just directly behind there, somebody has an excruciating migraine. If it begins, it looks as if your eyes want to come out. From here. Excruciating migraine. Somewhere around your forehead here. If it begins, it looks as if your eyes want to fall off. It has affected your studies. That devil needs you now. Father, I curse that evil. I break that seed. Leave him in the name of Jesus. Never to return. Free in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Please, let's share the word of the Lord briefly. Briefly. I need to really calm down this evening so that I can share some things with you. So, we need to reduce the intensity so we can share a few things. We want to talk about the subject of the great light. Your anchor scripture is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, Isaiah 9, verse 1 and 2. But we need to do an underground study before we can approach that anchor scripture. So I'll just do a little introduction this evening so that we can handle that subject tomorrow. Is that fine? Just a little background study. Are you with me? If you are, shout hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So let's step it down a little so we can share God's word. There are three basic realms of perception. There is perception at the natural realm. There is perception at the preternatural realm or the soulish realm. And there is perception at the supernatural realm or the realm of God. There are different lights that govern perception in every realm where man engages. When a man is engaging from the natural realm, what governs his perception is the ray of the sun. Because without light, perception is impossible. The reason I can see this speaker and tell the shape is not because the speaker is black. The reason I can see this speaker is because this speaker is emitting light. A light rests on it and is emitting a ray of light. It is that ray of light my eyes decode and my brain decipher that makes me know the color of this speaker, the shape of this speaker, the distance of this speaker from me. If light is withdrawn from here, the shape, the color, and everything will vanish. The reason I'm able to interact and perceive this speaker is because there is light hitting it, and it's because it's emitting light. So without light, perception is impossible. So the first foundational truth we must understand is that perception is possible because of light. Now, the kind of perception you have is dependent on the kind of light. So in the natural realm, men perceive based on the nature of the light that they see. If I take this speaker under another kind of light, you will be amazed that the color will change. If you are looking at this speaker under the ray of the sun, you can swear an oath and say this speaker is black. The reason you perceive black is because the ultraviolet ray makes it appear black. If I take it under maybe gamma ray, or I take it under X-ray or another kind of ray, the color of this speaker may become blue. And you who swore by an oath that this speaker is black, not because you are lying, but you are perceiving under a spectrum. So it is light that determines what you call truth. What you call truth under different circumstances of life can become a lie. So it's very important for you to understand the realm of perception. Everything you see in the natural realm can be altered because the ray can change. X-ray, gamma ray, ultraviolet ray, any kind of ray can change everything you know into a different thing entirely. So truth cannot be substantiated in the natural realm. It is impossible to substantiate truth in the natural realm because there are different kinds of light trying to create different kinds of perception. And if you now realize that you cannot judge things based on what you see alone, then you have to shift to a higher realm of perception. And then some people come to a soulish realm. The soulish realm perceive based on understanding. So it is what you know about a reality that determines your conclusions about that reality. The reason you say this speaker is black in the natural realm is because the light makes it emit this color. When you come to the soulish realm, the reason you call it black is because all of us understand this color to be black. So it is what we have concluded as our understanding that brings definition to what we see. So the light that governs the soulish realm is understanding. But there is another realm called the realm of God, the supernatural realm. That realm is governed by another kind of light. You know, many years ago, medical science felt they knew everything about the human body. Until a point came when things began to happen to people. The same ailment happens to three people. You give the same treatment to three of them. Two are healed. One doesn't get healed. You check the anatomy. You check the physiology. You check the biochemistry. Everything seems to be the same. But the person is not getting healed. As simple as a wound is. A wound can grow to become an ulcer. The person's leg is amputated. You don't know why the wound is not getting healed. They try everything that medical science know and validate based on the illumination from the natural and the soulish realm, and the wound doesn't get healed. When they now realize that there are other forces that determine how things play out in the natural, they decided to categorize them as idiopathic medicine, a kind of medicine that they don't understand because there are forces beyond the natural forces that they understand. There was a point when they felt, because psychology behavior, they felt psychology was so supreme until there were cases of schizophrenia. And psychology could not trace the cause of madness. So they came to a point where they realized some of the things that happen to men is beyond the natural. And when you want to translate beyond the natural, then you are coming to where the true light is. Because light is not only in the natural realm. Light is not only in the soulish realm. There is also light in the supernatural realm. The light that comes from the realm of God is the light that we call the great light. So it's important for us, first of all, to study this light and find out what this light is and how to interact with it. Because many times, you may be going through a circumstance. The natural light, we call it another name. The soulish light may even support the name the natural light calls it. But the light from the realm of God, we call it a different name. A man may be dying, and God comes and brings light from his own realm and said, I am the resurrection. So they say Lazarus is dead, but from the realm of the great light, they said he is sleeping. Many times, you may give a name to the circumstance of your life based on the light that you are seeing. So it's important for you to journey beyond the natural and the soulish light and come to where the great light is, because something can be true, but it may not be truth. Something can be factual, but it may not be real. The things going on in your life may be a mirage. It is the light you are using to see it that may make you call it your reality. But if you call something your reality that does not have its root from the realms of the great light, you may cut yourself short. When you have answers to your problem, you may give up
thinking there is no answer to your crisis. The problem is that you are seeing from a light that does not have depth enough to define that reality. This is why Jesus calls dead men sleeping men. Because from the realm where he's operating, that light can give him power to call the dead life. And him that was dead can come back to life. Because of the realm of light he's operating from. When you see men rule in this life, one of the reasons they rule is because of the kind of light they are working with. So the light from the realm of God is threefold. The first thing about that light is that that light is not just an illumination. That light is a person. So when we talk about light, we are talking about the essence of God. Without light, God cannot be known. Just the way in the natural I can know you without light. Both natural and soulish light. The reason is because I'm seeing the figure of my friend because of what he emits. So when I see him, I can recognize him. When he speaks, I can recognize his voice because the facts about his utterance have already been encoded in my mind. So when he talks, I can know. So without that level of illumination, I can't know him. In the same vein, God cannot be known without light. That's why the first correct definition of light from the realm of God is that light is a person. And so in John chapter 1, from verse 1 to verse 5, the Bible said, in the beginning, I'm taking it gradually because I'm establishing foundation. Tomorrow when I begin to make reference to that light, you will know which of the folds I'm referring to. It said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. It said, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, he was defining the Creator. And he said, in him was life. And the life now, he didn't call it the life of men. He said, the life is the light of men. The reason is because the way men articulate that life is by light. They cannot interact with that life except they touch the light that life emits. So when they touch that life, they touch it in form of light. Everything that comes from God is in form of life. Everything that comes from the devil is in form of darkness. Because light and darkness are personalities. They are not just illumination or absence of illumination. So the wisdom of God is light. The power of God is light. The glory of God is light. You cannot make contact with any of these dimensions until the light that represents them hits your spirit. So a man can read the best books in the world, but he will not have the wisdom of God. Even the Holy Scripture, a man may be reading it, but it will be locked until light breaks out of that scripture. And I can read one verse of scripture, the essence of life I will make contact with will be power. My friend Emmanuel can read that same verse of scripture, and what he will make contact with will be wisdom. So when I show up with that same verse of scripture, the power of God will heal the sick. When he shows up with that same verse of scripture, he will explain and confound darkness with so much wisdom. And you are wondering, how come one verse of scripture is so rich? The reason is because in him was life. But the life is not the life of men. The life is the light of men. So every kind of light that you make contact with from that light becomes your reality. And the way you can know a dimension of God is when that light becomes a dimension of light to you. So God primarily is light. And when you make contact with a dimension of the light of God, you will know that dimension of God. You don't know God because you read a book. You know God because you interacted with the light. There is a light that flows from God, and it will make you understand the love of God. And this love will so get you drunk that it will become the operating system of your existence. There is a light that will flow from God that will make you understand mercy. You will know mercy so much that it will become impossible for you to be offended at somebody. All of you may go to the same Bible school, read the same book, be mentored by the same person, but the God you will know will be different from the one your friend knows. The reason is because it is light that makes it impossible for God to be known. So it is the dimension of light you relate with that will determine the dimension of God you know. In John chapter 9 verse 5, he said, "So long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." In John chapter 8 verse 12, he said, "I am the light of the world. He that walketh with me will not walk in darkness, but we have the light of life." The reason you see that we never get exhausted in exploring God is because every time you come, another dimension of that light shines. You can read one scripture for 10 years, you will still be knowing God from that one scripture. The reason is because when He opens up, another light shines. When you study Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5, the Bible spoke of the 24 elders. Now, in the realm where they dwell, there is no time. So when you start talking about age, you are wasting your time. They dwell in aeons that cannot be referenced in time. And the Bible said, day and night, they fell from their throne and they beheld Him. And all they said was, "Holy." Because even though they've been there for billions of years, they keep seeing different flavors of light. One appears today, they think they've known Him all. And the moment they lift their face again, they see another light. And then they worship Him. And then they carry their face up again, thinking worship is over. And they see another light. Every light they see is different from the one they saw before. And they have been seeing that light for billions of years. And it's never exhausted. This is why the ways of God is past finding out. Because He is an endless brightness of glory and light. If you know this truth, when you carry your Bible, you'll be humble. You will not come and say, "I've read the Bible cover to cover." Because you can read the Bible cover to cover and light will not appear to you. You will be daft as touching matters of the kingdom. You can cram all the scripture on healing and recite it. If light doesn't break out, sickness will kill you while you are reciting those scriptures. This is why the only way to approach God is with fear and trembling. Because God is concealed. Until light comes out, you can't know Him. He is too big to be trapped in a book. There are mysteries that encode, that is encoded with. So much mystery that it will take His mercy for you to decipher it. When John went to heaven and he saw the glory of God, he said God was covered with jasper and sardine. Those are crystals. And what crystals do is that they reflect and refract light. So you may see God coming this way and you think you know Him. But because He's coated with crystals, the crystal will refract the light and the light will bend. And you will stand here and say, "I know what God will do. I've worked with God for 30 years. And then when you have bragged and finished bragging, you forget that the being that you call God is light and is encoded in spiritual crystals that refracts His dimension. So you can't get Him. You only humble yourself before Him so that He will shine His light upon you. Do you see why the fathers of faith, the more they know God, the more they become humble? It's only a young man who has not worked with God that thinks he knows something. I was in Yola last week. I saw crutches. I was in Calabar. I saw lumps disappearing. But when I was coming this evening, I was still afraid. Because the day you think you know Him, that's the day you lost Him. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 16, it says God dwells in light that is unapproachable. In 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 to 7, it said this is the message that we have received, that God is light and in Him is no darkness. So when you are dealing with spiritual matters, know that you are dealing with a being, not a thing. So when you want to understand the God that heals, you need to come with fear and trembling. Don't go and recite the scripture and say, this, it was wounded for our transgression. You will finish quoting the scripture, nothing will happen. Because the essence of God is light. And until light breaks out, nothing will work. This is why not many theologians know God. If you quote three scriptures, they will tell you everywhere it is in the Bible, like concordances, but they don't know God. Because if light doesn't come, God will be veiled. You can read all the books, it will be veiled. The being called God is light. Number two, light is a government. You know, it's important to some of the things you think are very simple, you meditate upon them in humility for God to open your understanding. I'm looking at the time. That's why I'm running. I can't flow. Today, God just wants to commission people. That's what God wants to do. It's tomorrow morning I will teach. Light is government. You don't have light until it begins to control you. Many people preach about holiness. They are secret sinners. So they know the scripture, but they don't have the light. Many people preach about prayer. They don't pray. They know the scriptures. They don't have the light. The light is encoded in the scripture. So the light must break out for you to interact with the reality. And the day light comes to a man, the first thing that happens to him is that government is established upon him. That's why in John chapter 1, from verse 5, he said the light shines in the darkness. Light is not designed to shine in light. Light is designed to bring government everywhere it goes. That is why the glory of light is seen in darkness. It's always impossible to see the glory of light in light. The reason is because the light must always shine in darkness. That is superiority, establishment of dominion and governance. A man can be living in immorality until the light of God's holiness shines upon him. And suddenly, without discipline, the appetite for immorality will die. Something has happened to him. He has encountered light. The proof that you have light is not that you talk a lot of things. The proof that you have light is not that you are intelligent. Light is not intelligent. Because most of the things we brag in, even the people who don't know our God, they do it better than many Christians. Light is not that you are wealthy. Light is that the authority and the dominion of God is now established in your life. So a man does not know the great light just by quoting and shouting it. When you encounter this light, you will discover that the ways of God will naturally become your lifestyle. The Bible said in Romans chapter 1 verse 3 and 4, it said that he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. That's government. The government was so strong that even in the belly of Hades, that light was able to bring him out of the dead. When people cannot walk and do the will of the Father, the reason is because they don't have light. In Isaiah chapter 8 verse 20, he said, if you don't speak according to this truth, it means you don't have light in you. To the law and to the prophets, if you don't speak according to this truth, it means you have no light in yourself. So when we make contact with the great light, it's not to go about and putting the slogan around campus. It's to come to a point where, first of all, in our own lives, the government of God dominates us. So the lady aforetime was a liar, but now comes her way of life. The lady was a fornicator, but now she is now a righteous person. The young man was a thief, but now he doesn't just stop stealing, he becomes generous. The guy was lazy. He can't read his book, but suddenly light has come. So he dominates even his flesh. That was what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 26. I beat my body. Bring it under subjection. I have self-governance over my being. nothing can have authority over me anymore. The only thing that rules me now is the kingdom of God. I've come to that point where I've interacted with the light of God so much that only what God says moves me. And every other thing being said cannot get my attention. So no matter how that weaves her mystery, it cannot get you. The reason is because you are dead to the realm of darkness and you are awakened to the realm of light. So a new government rules over you. This is how God functions. He functions by light. Without light, there can be no government. The proof that a man has access to light is that the government of God dominates him. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we know how the first heaven and the first earth works. Because everything God creates is like himself. And God is light. So the first heaven and the first earth was full of light. But suddenly, light was overthrown by another government. And he said, darkness was upon the face of the deep. God couldn't do anything until he called forth light. Because in the absence of light, there can be no government. So even God himself, he kept brooding upon the face of the deep. He didn't say, I'm God, so creation be restored. It will not work. It will not work. So the first thing God did was that he called light out of darkness. And when the light appeared, instantly, God began to give command. I know a lot of people, they try to establish and exercise government, and it's not working. It's not boldness that produces result. It's light that produces result. You can bring a crippled person to the front and say, today, I want to show God that I'm not ashamed. I will do it publicly. You will raise that person 10 times. The person will not stand up. And he will say, Lord, God will not let me be embarrassed, sir. You will be embarrassed. I have been embarrassed many times. So I'm speaking from experience. I went for a meeting. I said, no, God will honor my faith. Without light, faith is useless. God, we honor my faith. I dragged the cripple to the front and I decreed. I lifted the person up, the person fell down. After the third time, I told myself, don't be wicked. This man is going through pain. In Job chapter 7, he said, declare now if you have illumination. Declare now. Because if light has not come, authority can never be exercised. So, the light of God is the government of his kingdom. And the proof that you have received that light is not that you are talking as stuff off from your private life. That government begins to rule you. And I assure you, it will rule every aspect of your life. It's the more you yield to that government that that light will become stronger in your life. I've shared my story many times. After going to Bible schools upon Bible schools, serving people, following people, applying all the principles, nothing was working. One day I was going home and the Lord called the name of my girlfriend. And he said, leave her. They will see my power in your life. I said, this is not theologically correct. Because there is no scripture that says it's when you leave a woman that you have power. Not many days you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power. And you shall be witnesses unto me. They went out and spake the word with boldness. And the Lord confirmed the word with signs and wonders. If I have the Holy Ghost, I have power. If I speak the word, God confirms his word. He said in Acts chapter 14 verse 3, long time about days, speaking boldly in the Lord, and the Lord confirming the word of his grace. If I speak the word, there will be power. I spoke the word, there was no power. Because light is governance and government. If the government of God is not strong on your life, you will not see the government of God exercised through your life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 3, it said that casting down imagination and every high standing thing that opposes itself above the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity all things to the obedience of Christ, so that when your own obedience is fulfilled, then you will avenge other disobediences. People gather together and they say, wherever two or three are gathered in his name, he is there with them. Whatever they bind on earth is bound in heaven. And we have been binding and bounding, and nothing is being bound. The reason is because the people who gathered, they are men still ruled by darkness. If you see two men that are under the influence of light, they can take a city. But 1,000 men that have not come under the government of light, even if they apply every principle they know, they are still agents of darkness, trying to use a different principle to provoke a reality. And it will not work. It's not about the shouting. It's not about the slaying under the anointing. If the government of God doesn't rule your life, there's no light in your life. Because the light of God is the government of God. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness comprehends it not. If the government of God has not begun, forget about manifestation. Every manifestation we carry out, the devil can do the same. Michael Jackson enters auditorium. He doesn't even need to say there's an impartation. People start being slain with their number. There are herbalists today that open blind eyes, open deaf ears. So the idea is not first of all manifestation. The idea is, whom servant are you? It is until you are his servant, you are not establishing his dominion. If you like, start a ministry and call it Jesus Power Forever Ministry. It doesn't mean Jesus is Lord there. Because when light comes, the first thing that light does is that light establishes government. In Ephesians chapter 5 verse 13, it says light is that which makes manifest. You know, our generation, we love mysteries and bogus things. If I begin to talk about my encounters, and I begin to talk about apostolic realities, spiritual mysteries, everybody will be standing in this hall. But at the end of the day, mysteries cannot be taught. They are entrustment. And the people God entrusts that nations to are his servants. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 1, it says we are servants of God. Therefore, we are stewards of the mysteries of Christ. When light comes, you become a steward of the government of God. So the light of God is God's government. The absence of God's government is darkness. You can be in a bright auditorium singing and shouting, but you are in darkness. At the same time, you can be in the middle of darkness, yet you are carrying so much light. Because when demons come, they don't see the beauty of the auditorium. They see the glory that comes out of your life. When demons come, a man can be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and the demon will be screaming, "You are too bright." Yet another man can be standing on an altar with light and bulb shining everywhere, but the demon knows you are dark. You are in darkness. Because when they check you, they check the government that you represent. But many people think light is about spirit, biblical exegesis. So if they want to teach on healing, they exegesize healing. They take a concordance, gather 20 scriptures, and quote it fast and loud and powerful. Meanwhile, when you check their life, they don't have authority to bring that government. So when they are done talking, the people who came masturbating, they will go back, they will add pornography to their masturbation. Because darkness has mingled with more darkness. So the concoction becomes stronger. Meanwhile, the guy said it's an impartation service. Impartation service becomes a place where darkness is mingled. So the guy lays hands on you and you go home. The next week, you are struggling with lust. You see what is happening? Because a man laid hand on you in impartation service. What you didn't know is that the government he represented was what he transmitted. People may be slain under the anointing. That's activity. When the spirits come, they are finding out what is being trafficked. What is being trafficked. But when a man of light shows up, I heard a story. A very big, reputable university in the U.S. At the end of every year, during their convocation, they will bring a priest to come and read Psalm 23. And they will come and read it as part of the rituals. One day, they now brought a man who is terribly beaten down by the government of God. He doesn't even have a life anymore. And he strode into the convocation from his place of prayer. And when he came, he carried the book. The way he held the book, you know that this man knows where this book was written from. You know, some people hold the Bible, they think it's a textbook. A man who has seen the written word in the spirit, when he holds the logos, he holds it with trembling. You know, John thought that Jesus was just a brother until he went to the Isle of Patmos, and when he saw him in his glory, suddenly he realized that what he was reading were not letters, they were portals. And from that day, any scripture, he said, if you read what I've written, you are blessed, because they are not stories. They are not punchlines. They are gateways into dimensions. When a man sees the reality of the world in the spirit, he will relate with it differently in time. The man carried the scripture and he stood up. And when he opened it, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul." Every verse of that scripture he quoted, he read, was a reality that he has gone through. So when he was reading the scripture, He wasn't reading the book. He was communicating his dealings, his encounters. And before he finished reading Psalm 23, everybody was weeping. People were repenting of their sin. Because when he said, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness, he carried the whole congregation to the narrow path where he walked. The jungles where God took him to. The places where darkness could not subdue him. He brought them there. He was talking the testimony of intimacy and the realities of intercourse. For him, it was an experience. And when he finished reading that book, the university was on fire. He only read Psalm 23. Because light is government. When the government of God comes upon you, you can call the name of Jesus. And just by calling that name, somebody will have an encounter. Because for you, the name of Jesus is a word, is a realm. So when you are calling Jesus, you are invoking dimensions. You are invoking realms that you have traveled to. And people will start entering those realms. When you touch the government of this life, when you sing a song, it will not be a music. It will be the echoes of eternity. And when men hear those echoes, they will not hear you in their head. When they are hearing those echoes, the hunger for God will begin to rise in their spirit. Because the things you are doing, they are realities that are held up in the midst where cherubs have their meetings. So when you are singing those songs, you are chanting the sounds of eternity. It's government. How much have you been subdued by that government? Where have you gone to by the dictates of that government? You will not know what reality is. You will define things by periphery. The things you were told and the stories you heard, you will not have a testimony until the light of God becomes your government. I thought I was passionate about preaching and get winning souls to the kingdom. And then the government came and checked my soul. And he opened my soul like a book. And when he went deep into my soul, he now realized that, Kai, deep down in my soul, there were two things that were very strong. One was the law for honor. And number two, when that government checked, it discovered I was interested in honorarium. And so he didn't give me a sermon. He just told me, from today, don't take honorarium from students. Meanwhile, 90% of my meetings were campuses. Light has come. All of a sudden, when I have invitation and they say it's JCCF, I'll say, is that date free? That date is not free. I want to cancel it. And that light will say, go for that meeting. And sometimes, I will travel for 3 weeks. My back will be bent. I'm so tired, my voice is gone, I'm drained. And then I came back home empty. It's not economically intelligent. But light had come from heaven. He came to check my soul because he said, I, the Lord, I test the heart and I try the reins to give unto every man as his way should be. So there were things I couldn't qualify for in the spirit. There were authorities and dominions that he wanted me to walk in. As a young man, I couldn't qualify for it. So he began to bring government. Every time government comes, know that promotion is by the way. Because when a spirit wants to promote you, he's not moved by what you know. He's moved by the test that you can pass. He's moved by the trials that you can endure. Because if you don't walk through the fire, you will not know the dimension of God that shields men from fire. If you don't go through the waters, you will not know there is an invisible finger that stops men from being drowned. He says, they that journey to the deep, they see the wonders of God. So where men are drowned, that's where we see wonder. Because we are able to walk with it. It is in the face of trials and tribulation that promotion becomes cheap. When you see a man that God is doing a quick work in his life, go and check him out. It's a catalog of trials. Every angle of his life is warfare and temptation. When you check him out in the spirit, his badges are the crowns that he received from many warfares that he went to. So when God wants to promote this younger generation, the dimension of life that will come will not be mysteries. There will be governmental dimensions. God will tell you, leave that gear. God will tell you, don't cheat in that exam. And you will have extra year twice. He wants you to learn the pain of hard work so that you can appreciate true success. Because if you don't know the pain of hard work, even when you go to ministry, you will cut corners. You will think ministry is about succeeding. You will not know that ministry is the ability to trap an invincible government that is in the third heaven and to download it into the earth. So when a man comes to a territory, he didn't come with a message. He comes with Zion. That's the hallmark of the apostolic ministry. We don't need to preach a message to take a city. We only need to come with government. That's why John knew it so much. The Bible said he was in the wilderness. But right there in the wilderness, the Bible said the whole of Jerusalem and Judea went to him. Do you know the kind of message John was preaching? It's not the type we preach in our generation, where you are trying to pamper and massage people's ego. Men came to John and said, "You brood of vipers." That was the message of John. But the whole of Jerusalem and Judea went to him, because Jesus said he was a light, a burning and a shining light. And he said, "You sat under that government for a season." When a man internalizes the government that light brings, all of a sudden he becomes a canopy over a generation. Even demons know. Jesus, the Bible said in John chapter 1 that he was the light of men. But Jesus was in Zabulon, there was no light. Until the government began to test him. He said, "Go to the Jordan and be baptized by John." I know Jesus would have gone back to the studio of eternity when himself created John. He knew when he put a nose in John's forehead. He knew when he put hands and phalanges on John. He knew when he gave John his toe and his feet. How can creator be baptized by creation? It's called the government of light. And when Jesus came, even John descended. He said, "No, I should be baptized by you." He said, "Suffer it to be so for now. Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." I know that by the laws of the Spirit, I am superior to you, but the government of life dictates that you should baptize me. So the man went into the water and bowed before John, and John imparted him. And he stood up as if it was not enough. The Bible said in Matthew 4:1 that the Spirit drove him to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And for 40 days and 40 nights, he was going through the perils and the process of government. That's where you receive your badge of honor. That's where the princes in darkness know that truly a son has risen. He was there, and the devil buffeted him for 40 days and for 40 nights. But there was nowhere he could be caught, because he was absolutely under government. When he came out of there, he said, "The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, they that sat in darkness, they have seen a great light." So the light that Zebulun saw was not illumination. The light that Zebulun saw was government. That was why the moment he entered into the synagogue, demons began to scream. He went to that same synagogue for 30 years. No demon cared. They were not bothered. But when he came with government, because himself had been under government, demons began to scream, "Away from us. Why have you come before your time? I've been here for 30 years. Are you just recognizing me?" "Yes, because it's now that we see government. I know you have been preaching in Zaria for 25 years. I know that you are a fellowship president. I know that you have a title of an apostle. But when the Spirit check you, what they are looking for, they are the scars, the pains, the processes, and the badges of honor that God has put upon your shoulder. Because when everybody bent to the status quo, you stood your ground. Okay, live forever. We will not be careful to answer you in this matter. We will not be careful. Even if our God doesn't deliver us, we will not bow." Those are men that have light. A man who has light is a man that walks under the government of Yahweh. If you don't come under government, what you have is philosophy and ideologies. In the face of fire, you will discover that what you have are stories. But men of government, when they go into darkness, that's where they shine. Because every time there is a contrary government, it gives them opportunity to explain and to establish the dominion of God. Light is the enactment of the government of God. We don't need so many men to change our world. We need government agents. We need men that can say no to iniquity. We need men that can take the shame and go through the process. We need men that can endure the trial. We don't need orators. We don't need preachers. We need witnesses. But I tell you, in our generation, preachers and orators are increasing while witnesses are reducing. That's why churches are proliferated. Yet in the same territory, there is darkness. In the days of old, when A.A. Allen enters a city, all the drunkards repent. It doesn't need to go toward the beer palace. But when it comes, every demon that establishes drunkenness, he chases them out of the territory. Because when he's talking, the spirits know he's addressing them. Because when we come into a territory, we shouldn't only address those who came for the meeting. We should address the spirits of the land. We should address the spiritual climate of the territory. That a man come into a territory and the territory remain the same is a shame because the witness have not come. Hey. This is brotherly counsel. It's not a message. The fathers of old are beginning to leave the scene. Who are the men who can wear their shoes? It's not about mantles. It's about the consecration to wield the mantle. If they give you the mantle of Rehabonke, can you wield it? You did ministry for 30 years, you had no connection with money. It was still normal. His gesticulation didn't change. His shoulders didn't go up. He was still normal. For 50 years of raising cripples and opening blind eyes, it was normal. Can you handle that mantle? Can you handle that mantle? You will come for a crusade where 7 million people gather. You leave the offering and say, let it help the territory. Do you know how much offering 7 million people can generate? Do you know? Even if they give 1 naira, that's 7 million. Imagine if they give 100 naira, that's 700 million. Imagine if they give 1,000, that's 7 billion. For 50 years, presidents are willing to lie down for you, but you are still normal. And then you have the guts to ask for the mantle of Rehabonke. You don't know the government he represents. You don't know how many demons know his name in the spirit realm. You don't know why Rehabonke comes to a city and heavenly shrines begin to burn. Because you don't know the angels that his presence sends on errands. You don't know the demons that run out of territories because Rehabonke is coming. Because you think it's about the glory on the altar. There are many realms of death that they enter. They say, I bear in my body the dying of the Lord. I was in the isle called Patmos. The isle of Patmos is the island of death. These are men that walk through the coals of fire. These are men that carry the verdict of death upon their shoulder. Day and night, they die to flesh so that they can illuminate the glories of God. They say, we bear in our body the dying of the Lord. The dying of the Lord. We have gone through trials and perils, but we stood our ground. Many times, even our life was in jeopardy, but we never thought about ourselves. He said, I count all things as dung for the excellency of the name of Jesus. That's a man that has light. How many things can you forego? Light is not story. Light is death. A kind of death that brings life. It is the Lord that killeth and maketh alive. Except the corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. There are many men talking and shouting the name of Jesus, but only few can bring government. That's why our world is going in darkness. But the rise of warriors is about to come. Hallelujah. 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 Philosophers. So we come for meetings, we are looking for quotes that they will put on Facebook and on Instagram. Meanwhile, the people we are talking to are still languishing in darkness. Ministry has been there for 10 years, for for 20 years.
You can't point men that have been raised. But the general overseer is becoming bigger, building auditoriums and cathedrals. But where are the men? That's why we have big churches, but the territory is in darkness. Because the church will not enter the market. It is the men that are raised that enters the market. It's the men that are raised that enter the government. You come to what we call apostolic ministries. And for 10 years, only one apostle is standing like an iroko tree. No labor to raise men. Because it's about self-aggrandizement, self-exaltation, self-glorification. So that he keeps walking on red carpet, but nobody rises. The Bible said, out of the 500 disciples that Jesus raised, anyone qualified. When Judas fell, they casted lot. They picked people at random. And the person they picked had the same stature as Peter. They cast the lot and picked Matthias. Matthias had the same stature as Peter. What was Jesus teaching them? Today you can't even send somebody to represent you, not even your assistant. And we say we are doing ministry. No, we are using the altar for business. Hey, I've told you, but I came to tell you, if you like, read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. If you are still a fornicator, God cannot commit kingdom to your hand. If you like, have the title of an apostle or a prophet, pray to the largest congregation. What you are doing is not kingdom, it's showbiz. Because when we check the testimony of the lives of the people, there will be few men who can bear government. God doesn't judge by number. He judges by stature. How many men can rise there? Have the largest follower on the internet. It doesn't give you credibility in the spirit. Because when the spirit comes, they will check you. The prince of this world cometh to me and findeth nothing. He findeth nothing. It's only among men that you can take glory in the fact that you are popular. Not among spirits. When spirits come, they check you. Can this one stand pressure? Can this one stand? When we shake the balances, can it stand? You preach all the bogus messages, and then a lady you should convert to an evangelist, the devil goes and tilts her mind, and then you see them, you are shaking. A brother you should win over to Christ, you are hoping he should give you an engagement ring, even though he's still a smoker. You don't know government. We like big things. Talking big things everywhere. Meanwhile, nothing is happening. If MTN begins today to make public the phone calls of we who call ourselves pastors, many people will never come to church again. I'm not talking about the spirit realm. If MTN makes our text messages and our phone calls public, many people will never go to church again. That's why messages upon messages, programs upon programs, yet nothing is built in the heart. They have been built for 10 years and they've gone to church every Sunday for 10 years. Yet they are still babes. Because the man talking is not under government. If he is, he will establish government. Please sit down. You know, as we are sitting now, addictions are breaking from people's lives. You come for a meeting, you go back doing the same thing you were doing, and you say it's a powerful meeting. What makes it a powerful meeting?
You came smoking, you left smoking. You came masturbating, you went masturbating. You came a drunk, you went back a drunk. And you are calling the meeting a powerful meeting. What makes the meeting powerful? The powers that held you captive are still holding you captive. What makes the meeting powerful? Because even our priorities have been maligned. You came for a meeting, you didn't repent. You carried the garbage you brought into the meeting back. And you say it was a powerful meeting. No, it wasn't. It was a showbiz. The day it's a powerful meeting, the cross will appear to you. And you will not leave that meeting until you carry your cross. You will carry it everywhere you go. Light is government. Number three, light is a system of operation. There is a way we do what we do. Because what illuminates us is different. You know, I'm establishing this foundation because when I begin to talk about the manifestation of light tomorrow evening, before I pray for the sick, you won't think I'm psyching you. Because if you step into light, sir, if you step into light, you literally become a god. When Moses saw light in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 7 verse 1, God told him, I have made you a god unto Pharaoh. I have made you a god unto Pharaoh. And he said, your brother Aaron is your prophet. The guy came with a staff and it brought down the strongest civilization of his generation. Because the man had become a god. Pharaoh didn't even think of killing him. Because you don't kill gods. When I start talking to you about the manifestations of light tomorrow, most of you will not be able to sit down. But you need to know the foundation first. So that you don't go out excited and then you think later that what you were told was psych. The devil knows that if you step into light, he's finished. That's why he wants to hold you bound in that addiction. Because he knows you may look feeble, but if you enter into light, he's finished. He has seen it happen again and again in many generations. Probably he underrated Catherine Kuhlman. Because the woman couldn't talk. When she's talking, you are literally struggling to hear her. She wasn't beautiful, so much so that she hardly had somebody to admire her. And the devil thought this one was an invalid. And right there, she entered into the crucible of light. And when she came out later, she was like a cherub. He looked at Moses. He thought, this one is a stammer. What can come out of him? He didn't know that what makes the difference is light. You may be a young boy, but a generation is coming where boys of 19 years will pack stadiums and be organizing revival meetings, 17 years old. Because out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou have ordained strength, that thou mightest silence and steal the avenger. But this is the foundation. Paul knew it, so he said, sin shall no longer have dominion over me. I've come under a new government. In Galatians 2:20, he said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. The life that I live in the flesh, I do not live for myself, but for the Son of God that died for me. In 2 Corinthians 5:14, he said, the love of Christ constrains us. For we thus judge that if one dies for all, they that live should no longer live for themselves, but for him that died for them. That's government. That was why Acts 15:26 said, Paul and Barnabas. He said, these be the men that hazarded their lives for the gospel. Their life didn't mean anything to them anymore. It was poured out as a drink offering. If this generation will understand the governmental dimension of light, darkness will run out of our generation. One man can enter a city and bring that city down. One man. You don't need a band of intercessors to take a city. You don't need a band of intercessors. You just need one government agent. Philip went to Samaria. He preached Christ there. The city was full of joy. The whole city came under the government that one man brought. Light is an operating system. Everything you do, if there is no revelation powering it, you are susceptible to destruction and to waste. Jesus wanted to build the church. He couldn't because there was no light. So in Matthew 16, from verse 16 to 18, he said, "Who do men say I, the Son of Man, I am?" And Peter, they gave all the answers that the theologians gave. None of them was correct. That was why Jesus didn't adopt any of their church party. And Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Flesh and blood have not revealed this to you. You tapped into light from heaven." And he said, "Upon this light, I will build my church. The gate of hell shall not prevail against it." Without light, there can be no successful operation, whether in business, in family, or in politics. Don't go and start a family because you are 30 years old and they say you are mature. What revelation do you have to sustain that family? Don't start a business because they gave you a capital. What revelation do you have to sustain it? The guy who came from darkness has a revelation. Maybe he buried the virgin under his company. Maybe he buried 12 doves. There is a revelation that is powering the business. Nothing in the natural is natural. Everything in the natural is an offspring of the supernatural. So anything you want to do, there must be a light powering it, because it is only within the bandwidth of light that operations can be possible. If there is no light around what you are doing, you will fail. It only takes time. Have you not seen terrible mishaps happening to people? Some after 15 years, after 20 years. Because according to the calendar of the devil, their evil day was 20 years later. It doesn't mean they are succeeding. It is the day a revelation comes to back what you are doing that you begin to succeed. You don't succeed because you have something. Because when we come to your timetable, which the Bible calls the evil day, you may lose everything you built in 15 years in one day. The only way you can cross over is when there is a light. Because when that evil comes, light will appear. And the light always shines in the darkness. This is why the greatest asset of a generation is the light that they have. And the greatest contention of a generation is contention around light. Because when a people have access to light, their deliverance have come. It is on this note that the Bible began to tell us. It says, "Awake, Ephesians 5:14, thou that sleepest, and Christ will give thee light. For the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentile, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light." When they saw light, they didn't say they have illumination. People came from death back to life. People came from failure to success. People came from sorrow to joy. Because this kind of light, the same way it's a person, it deals with beings in darkness. The same way it's a government, it deals with governments in darkness. And the same way it's an operating system, it deals with that operating system. So when the light of God comes, the person of God become incapacitated around you. Because light is a person, it deals with spiritual entities. Because light is a government, it deals with darkness. Because light is an operating system, it gives you direction in the face of confusion. Our generation needs light. It's not story. Some of you will leave this conference and you will apprehend Christ. You will just sit down and a dimension of Christ will become real to you. You will carry him out of here as a tangible substance. You will just know that I can't be sick. That's a dimension of divine health. You will catch it. And you may come with affliction. I was in Yola last week. A young lady, about 20 years old, had had cancer for 5 years. When she was healed, she didn't come out. She went the next day, did an x-ray and all the tests she needed to do. Cancer left. Because while I was talking, it just dawned on her that she couldn't be sick. The moment she caught it, cancer vanished. Some of you, light will just come. You will just know, I can't be a failure. I can't be a failure. And suddenly an excellent spirit will mantle you. And you will go back and carry your engineering textbook that looks as if they are speaking Swahili. and all of a sudden everything will become plain. And then you are wondering what has happened. Light has come. Some of you will just know that I can't be a failure. And all of a sudden, there will be speed added to your life. And you will leave. While you are yet on campus, you will start a business and you will start making millions. Meanwhile, you will be in 300 level. It is a function of light. Some of you will know that, come, my words are creative. And then you will be walking on campus, you enter a lecture. Somebody say, I have a growth on my breast. You say, no, that's not a problem. Growth vanish. And growth will vanish. Somebody say, I can't walk, I'm feeling pain. No, that's not a problem. Pain, go. You will just know that your words are creative. You have caught a dimension of light. You will not leave this conference without apprehending light. You will not leave this conference without taking hold of a tangible dimension of light. You didn't come to hear things that will fascinate you. You came to take delivery of a possession. And that possession is light. And some of you, as I speak now, the Lord Jesus is ministering the revelation of Christ to you, to your heart. Something will just click in your soul, and you will just come into an understanding of who you are in Christ. And all of a sudden, your life will turn around. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I make that possibility available to you.
Hallelujah! Hey! Aliyah, eh,
you know, there is a dimension that God wants to give to some of you here. I told you tonight is the night of ordination. God wants to gift some of you the fire of His presence. Just be calm, just sit down quietly. You know, you can't be a witness without fire. He said, He maketh His angels spirits. He said, but His ministers. If you are a minister of God, He said, you will be a flame of fire. The reason is because Satan was judged, and the judgment that God put on Satan was that the fire within him will burn him to ashes. So every time a man shows up with fire, he brings back the reality of the Luciferous judgment, and the devil begins to burn, he runs away. There are some of you here that the dimension of the Christ that you will receive tonight will be fire. You will leave this meeting and you will step out. When you are talking, people will be repenting, they will be crying, they will be making decisions. When you are talking, demons will be leaving people. As I'm speaking now, precious Holy Spirit, I release that grace. The fire of God comes upon you. Everyone that is entitled to that dimension, Holy Ghost, I release that fire. It's what I carry. I can release it at any time.
Jesus, please sit down and just stay calm. I don't want it to look like an emotional thing. Just play for me the keyboard. There are some of you here, demons have messed with you too much. Even in your dream, they go there to enslave you. The cure is fire. There is a dimension of fire you will carry. They will run. See, flies don't perch on hot food. You will so be on fire for God, you will be burning like flames. Right now, Holy Spirit, inside and outside, from the left to the right, from the front to the back, the galleries, the overflow, everybody online. In the name of Jesus, peace be still, peace be still. Peace be still.
I want it calm tonight. There are 12 persons that will come under that fire. Some of them will prophesy. Some of them will just lose. They will lose everything. They will just be on fire. Father, as I'm talking now, let the flames begin to rest. Touch! 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 I release that fire! Holy Ghost! Your lives will never be the same again. There are too many lukewarm Christians. Is that because you are neither hot nor cold? I will spew you out of my mouth. But you will be on fire from tonight. Stop playing the keyboard. In the name of Jesus. Ushers, those who are praying, you can bring them. The angels that walk with the coals of fire, they minister to you right now. Please don't be distracted, please. We mustn't shout for things to happen. Just stay focused and receive. Stay focused. Stay in the place of prayer. Stay focused and receive. Touch! The Lord is setting men on fire. Just stay focused. This is not emotional. If you can pray in the Holy Ghost, pray. I want you to get something tangible. Let the flames be intensified. Some of you will live here. You will pray like never before. Your altars will literally explode.